You've seen it all. You've seen it all.
The soothing sounds of Jimmy Buffett, of course. Pirate looks at 40. I want to get some shorts on and grab a margarita. I'm now in the Buffett zone. And we play that by way of introduction to our next guest. Meet Professor Jim Macbeth. He happens to be, as we speak, on his yacht, moored in Coral Bay in Western Australia. Jim, welcome.
Thank you, and I must say, watching Jimmy Buffett in shorts all morning on videos was good fun as well.
It's not that warm where you are at the moment.
Not quite that warm, but it's plenty warm, and I'm in shorts too, don't you worry.
That song is kind of your story. He sings there about wanting to go to the sea since he was 3 foot tall. You were born in the mountains of British Columbia, which is fairly inland, but water was your enduring fascination.
Well, I grew up in the mountains, yes, we always had, of course, spring floods, and we had little ponds would form up in the mountains that we'd go to as kids. And then my parents bought outboards, and we had about 150 miles of lakes and rivers to travel on all through my teenage years. And that's where I learned my boating skills from.
And now to the open ocean, which is a nice jump.
Well, I moved to Perth to a job in the 1970s, and wasn't long before I had to go sailing. And since then, I've sailed part way across the Pacific and up and down this coast and to Indonesia and locally and things like that. And, yeah, I love the sea, yeah.
Where does it
live by the sea, too.
Where does it take you? Being out there surrounded by nothing, what does that do for your mind?
Well, it depends a bit on how good the conditions are. So on Tuesday, when I sailed down the coast a bit for the first few hours, it was beautiful, calm sailing, ice boat moving along very well, wind in the right direction, and by about 4 o'clock, it was quite the opposite, and I spent 18 hours battling the seas. Not problem seas, but not comfortable. So you get everything, and at the moment I'm solo sailing, so it's different again. I've never done any distance on solo, mostly with crew.
Mm.
And it's harder work, obviously, and getting a decent sleep is very hard, especially coastal sailing is much harder than offshore sailing.
How do you get sleep when you're out there on your own?
Well, the further out you are, the more you can sleep. So the woman Lisa Blair that's sailing around the Antarctic at the moment, she'll do sometimes 6-7 hours of sleep because there's no ships around. Whereas when you're coastal sailing, like I've been doing, I do half hour. And I set the alarm right through the night. I set an alarm that goes off every 40 minutes, 10 minutes up, half an hour of sleep, 10 minutes up looking around, adjusting sails, back to sleep again.
And then you mutiny against yourself.
Yeah, well, I don't actually. I then hope to get to some place where I can anchor and have a snooze.
You're an emeritus professor at the School of Arts at Murdoch University over there in WA, and you're researching and teaching around tourism and travel. This is a neat fit.
Well, it took a while to get there. I was mostly involved directly in sociology up until the mid-90s, when I thought it was about time we had a tourism course based in the social sciences rather than based in business. So our interests were really in travel motivation, in policy and planning, strong links to environmental science and environmental protection from tourism, issues around poverty alleviation and tourism, that kind of thing. So that's been my focus for the last 20-odd years, and the little research I'm doing now is mostly with environmental science, actually.
So motivation, that's an interesting thing. I mean, to go back to our conversation about being there out and alone, your particular adventure now, you're sailing for 4 months on your own.
Yeah, I'll have family with me part of the time down in Shark Bay, but I wanted to go sailing another year, another season, and somebody told me when I was about 64 that if I didn't get out sailing, retire soon and go sailing, I'll get too old for it. So I thought I'd better retire and get started. some years ago.
Okay. What are you now, if I could ask?
I'm 72.
Okay. Well, that's an impressive thing for a senior gentleman, Jim, to be out there risking life and limb. And there must be moments, you know, that do give you something more than just discomfort.
Well, fortunately, I don't have an imagination, and I say that tongue-in-cheek, in that I don't imagine the worst, and I get over the worst very quickly. And I have a very good boat. I have a strong boat. I know the boat very well. I've had it for 33 years, and it it hasn't let me down in any serious way. I've had little things go wrong, of course, on various trips, but it's part of it is actually to have confidence and have a sense of what the sea is doing, I guess. So on that 18 hours where it was rough the other night, I set the boat up so that it was sailing efficiently. So I was getting speed out of it, but still not stressing it. You don't want to overstress the rigging and so forth. And it was fine. I didn't have any trouble. I had to hang on, got a few bruises from trying to move around inside the boat. But
you must know that boat pretty intimately. You two must be quite the partnership.
Yeah, it's part of me in a way, and it's going to be a terrible wrench if I have to sell it at some point.
Well, you better tell us about the boat.
Well, it's a traditional boat. Anybody that's a sailor who's listening to this program will know Francis Shershoff, American designer of the 1940s. And this boat was designed in the 40s in timber, but built in the 70s in steel by a company in Sydney. They built about a dozen of them, actually. And it's 36 feet long. It's what's called a cutter rig. And originally, Shershoff designed it as a ketch, but these are cutter. And, it's strong and reasonably fast for its weight. It's a very heavy boat. Hmm. That's one reason it's so comfortable.
Comfort, not speed.
Yeah, well, it's not a race boat, and I'm not a racer, so that's okay.
That confidence you spoke about before, I mean, that must be born of experience.
Oh, I think a bit of it. I always think that sometimes confidence is also born of ignorance and lack of imagination, like I said. But I'm reasonably cautious, so my family, my partner in particular, keeps saying, just be careful. And I said, I am, you know, this is the way I've got to move. So if I'm on deck and I'm sailing, I'm clipped on.
Make us envious. Just paint the picture of what you can see right now.
Well, what I can see right now is the sun shimmering, and it is literally shimmering off a huge bay north of just near Coral Bay. Nothing on the horizon. Oh, there's another yacht at anchor, and I can see the reef breaking. There's a fringing reef around. It's the Ningaloo Reef, a famous reef. It's breaking, and this morning there were a number of tour boats out and spotter planes looking for whale sharks. There's a few whales around, not many, but there's lots of other stuff around. If I look in another direction, I can see the land, you know, sand, which, you know, WA is flat and sand. So you don't see it from very far offshore, I'll tell you that. And very light breeze, actually, not like yesterday where it was blowing its guts out.
That's a beautiful thing. Jim, we all hate you now, so we're going to go.
I thought you might do that. But it's a good place to be. And but, you know, the thing to remember, Jonathan, is that everybody says, oh, you're lucky you're retired, you can go and do that. And you say, yeah, but the other thing that goes with it is I'm old. Can't do it forever.
Tell us the name of your yacht before we go, Jim.
The yacht is called Kiga, K-I-G-A, which is three in Indonesian. And the people who built the boat, that was their third yacht. Coincidentally, it was my third yacht. Mm-hmm. People who are interested in do these things, you can track boats like mine on what's called AIS. There's a number of websites that do that. So I'm sending out a signal constantly, the boat is, I should say, that is tracked by satellites and by VHF radio, which then these websites track where all the boats in the world are, practically all the commercial boats, certainly. It's quite interesting when you look at the number of boats out there.
Well, Jim, you're on one of them. Thank you so much for sharing that vista and your experience with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Always happy to talk about it.
On board the good ship Tiga, near Coral Bay in Western Australia, the sun shimmering on those placid waters, is Jim McBeth. He's an emeritus professor of the School of Arts at Murdoch University. Sense of place, well, his place. His place was the sea. And that's it for Blueprint for Living. I want to get some shorts on. Get down to the beach. Jonathan Green with you. Sadly, it's not the weather for that. And that brings us to the end of this Blueprint for Living podcast. Hope you enjoyed that. If you've not subscribed, you can. Just do it wherever you do that with your other podcasts. We are there. And if you do that, we'll talk again soon. Looking forward to that. See you.